Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sucharita here on Sunday, August 31st, 2014. My name is Sucharita, and this is our weekly call that we offer through Polite Center. So welcome to all those people who are joining for the first time and to the members who have been joining since its inception. And it's a great pleasure to be facilitating this weekly call, especially since I've been traveling in India and sharing all the adventures and the journey here that I've been experiencing, and then sharing it with you so that in your own lives, wherever you are in the world, we can bring to our awareness what Dr. Pillai is teaching us on this path. So it doesn't really matter where we are. We can experience something in our lives that will maybe inspire someone else, or it will help us to inquire more about our own personal evolution. And also for those people who are joining and they seem to have everything going in life, but there's an empty space inside of their hearts and souls and minds, and they want to fill it with something more purposeful. So every week we get together and we talk about what's happening in Pillai Center and the sister company or partner company, astroved.com. And as Dr. Pillai has put out so many videos on YouTube, it can be overwhelming. And we get so many emails, like the newsletters that come out, hey, do this, try this, this program is going on. And they're all great. It's like a big smorgasbord of spiritual tools and programs that we could totally benefit from. But what to do? What do we focus on? So each and every one of us we'll get some sort of idea of what it is that we need to do week by week, and then we forecast for the whole month as the sun is transiting in a new sign, and it illuminates that house where it's transiting or that sign where it's transiting. And then those kinds of issues come up in our life where we oops, sorry about that. So we have the sun moving into Leo now, and it's going to illuminate that the characteristics of that house or sign. It's the natural fifth house, meaning fortune, luck, and grace, your past life karmas, or grace coming from those past life karmas. So if we don't pay attention to those things, they could just fly by us and we wouldn't even receive the benefits. We definitely always seem to feel the wrath or the challenges or pain that comes with it if we don't pay attention. So, and then sun in Leo, which is, it's comfortable in its own sign. That's its sign of the zodiac that it rules. And so the sun is the ruler of our solar system, what we have is in the planetary perspective or the scientific perspective beyond the spiritual perspective. And then, so what does that mean? The sun represents the soul. The soul is saying to us, okay, where are we lacking in royalty consciousness? What kinds of experiences in life am I pulling towards me? Am I living the life of a pauper, or am I living the life of a king? And so this is what we do, is we pay attention to the sun in the sign of Leo, and then when we pray to the sun, and not only praying to the sun, but just praying to in our meditations, or making that internal commitment or maybe a goal at first. Should we just say, okay, I've got this goal. I want to experience more of what the sun is showing me in Leo, to be more available to others, to be a king or a queen in my life, not necessarily wear a crown and all that stuff if you haven't been born into it. But where are you lacking in leadership? Where are you not getting the support of the people around you? And if that's happening, then what to do? So here we are, and we are going to be sharing about that. And just from my own experience this this past week, as I do every week, I seem to be traveling a bit more, being here in the deep south of India. And I had an opportunity to go to another state called Kerala. And Kerala is known in this part of the world as, and in India, as God's country. And it is incredible. It's a beautiful, beautiful, even just getting off the plane and, you know, the air is so different than it is in different parts of India that I've been in recently and over the past couple of decades. And the scenery is different. Of course, it's on the west coast of India, so it's going to be more lush and green as it would be in other west coasts of countries. At least I know from Canada, it's more lush than it is on the west than it is in central or in other parts of Canada. So I had that kind of backdrop to compare to, and also the U.S. West Coast as well, more lush. So it's kind of like that, more tropical, thicker, greener. So the prana, the energy there is really pure. But not only that, there was a different energy of the people. And I was curious about that because I was going to visit Hanuman Das, who I've talked about here and in different programs. I'm working with him as well in advisory services through AstroVet.com for those people who have really challenging issues relating to ancestors or people who are really sending negative energy towards them. And it's in the form of what they call like you know, curses, or people who are jealous or envious, or you know, frustrated about their own lives. They put that negativity, so it becomes like a black magic, a black energy going, dark energy going towards the person. So these people can be really benefited from Hanuman Das, and they have been, including myself. And so we went to take someone there, and he was telling that the remedies and the rituals and the ceremonies or the celebrations that they do in Kerala are very, very different than other parts of India. And if you've been to India or if you haven't been to India, you can Google it or watch it on YouTube, different stuff. But in the state that I spend most time in while I'm here is in Tamil Nadu, and it's very, there's a lot of ceremony going on. The priests are chanting loud mantras, and there's a lot of singing, a lot of bhajan, a lot of external playing of music and bells and drums, and it can be really, really loud in the temples. And it creates this fervor and this paying attention to your inner world. Even all this other stuff is going on, it really makes you to go inside. But in Kerala, it was so, all the priests do everything internally. So they do all the mantras, there's not a lot of bells and whistles, if you want to call it that. There's not a lot of extra things that they do, so it really almost made me to jump to a new level of inner awareness and pick up more of the subtleties that were being invoked by the Vedic specialists or the priests who were doing this more internal ritual or chanting or invoking of the deity, the archetype, and they're so pure, like they don't, you know, you can't touch them. You can't, you know, not that you're going to forcefully touch them, but if they hand you something, the prasad, they call it afterwards, they just kind of drop it in your hand, versus when you're in different temples in Tamil Nadu, they just, you know, plop it in your hand, and if they touch your hand, no big deal. Or if they bump into you, it's not a big deal. But there, they're very, it's a whole different way of being, and I was very curious because they seem to move slower in how they were doing things, or maybe not slower, but with more intention. I don't want to compare that way, but there was something there that it was almost like this gap was created in consciousness, and that the energy of the deity or the archetype was so palpable in that silence. Because I'm not saying anything, no one else is saying anything, no one's singing, no one's chanting, no one's doing anything all around. It's just this, you go to the place where the deity is or the priest is, and they're doing the thing to invoke the blessings, and you say your prayers, and you know, you pray for whatever it is that you want to pray for, and then you off you go. They give you the prasad, which is the offering, and it's usually ash, you know, to put on the forehead, or some kumkum, some red powder or white powder, and sometimes some yellow paste, sandalwood paste or turmeric, and those are all the kind of powders that they use, and then you take it and you put it on your forehead, as we've talked about before. So when I was receiving all this, I couldn't ask any questions because nobody really talks. And so it was really had a really great time in going more internal. And then listening to the internal dialogue. And then quietening the mind and just looking at the deity versus remembering what the mantra was or praying or, fervently for things. So what happened in that process was this energy that came out when the deity was invoked or the archetype was invoked, and it really hit my brain. I could feel this tingling going on inside of my brain. I could feel the third eye just expanding into the third eye, meaning the midbrain area. I could feel it expanding and just like pushing the barriers, the internal barriers, and almost opening up a portal removing a layer of consciousness that I haven't been able to bust through. And this all is happening in like seconds, even not even minutes, because then I'm on to the next thing. But that's why I was saying it's kind of slowed down. It's like everything got slowed down and to experience more and then move on. So what did that translate to me when I look back on it? Was that in our lives, when we're silent and we just take a pause versus saying something to someone in a response or a reaction, we're trying to get rid of reactionary behavior because that's emotionally charged. So, but then we get into response, but not even. So the lesson that I learned, or maybe the experience that I had was when we pause in a conversation with either with ourselves or with someone else, then that allows for this energy, this divine energy to come in and to maybe help us to do the thing that we need to do in that moment of silence. So it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, zip your mouth, you know, zip and don't say anything for the rest of the day, but just right before you're going to say something to someone, pause. Think twice. That's the saying, right? So just, and one of the ways that I've been practicing over the years when I've been told, you know, people who say, who very wise people, they say, you know, the wise have the most bite marks on their tongues. So I would practice that literally. I would just, you know, have my mouth closed and just like kind of bite my tongue and don't say anything and kind of smile and then realize in that moment that a whole new presentation or representation of myself can be revealed, and then not just for myself, because I'm doing the thing and I'm observing and I'm more in control of what I'm doing. I'm never in control of what anyone else is doing. None of us are. But what we can do is we can hold that space, and then when that person is trying to, what we call or have experienced, all of us, push our buttons, then we can just hold that space and allow that reaction to just be, you know, kind of dumped into oblivion. So that is, I don't know if that makes sense to anyone, but that is what was experienced when I went off to see this divine being, the Siddha, who helps people tremendously get rid of ancestor karma and or curses or black magic or evil eye, all that stuff that I never believed in. I never believed in it. And but over the years with Dr. Pillai, I experienced it firsthand, and many people have, and this is the specialist. So he does tremendous work, and it's very fast turnaround, where I can see immediate results, and the member can as well. So when I went to see him and then had this, because he's living in this country, part of the country, that's it's very quiet, it's very subtle. A lot goes on, but it's very subtle. The energy is so intoxicating almost. It's just, you just get absorbed into it. And then what gets revealed is what we need to do in that next moment. And in that next moment, it's potent with divinity. So that the God or the archetype, it reveals its presence. And it can be Jesus, it can be Buddha, it can be anyone that you, or it can be a saint. It can be anyone that can, even though you're going to these temples that are Hindu in nature, you know, you can communicate, you can commune with these divine beings. If you have come from a different religious background like I did, I came from Catholicism, grew up in it. So I have a tremendous appreciation, respect for all religions, and because it's the deity that I want to communicate with, and this, the priest or the specialist, the spiritual technologists or spiritual specialists, they're kind of like the scientists or the technicians that give us the ability to open up the door for the deity or archetype or saint or sage or siddha or god or whatever you want to call it. That divine being is coming and then revealing to us what it is that we can see. So, and then taking that in our lives, taking that experience and putting it into our life, and to see how we are being as we become more and more God-like ourselves. So every religion will say, God, you are God and God is you. And you, that's what we're here to do, is to realize God while we're here, given the birthright to be on this earth plane at this time, especially the golden age, where it gives you the opportunity to give up all the things that have been causing you so much pain and suffering. Because that's a signal that, hey, something's not right here. And there's more to it than just getting stuff, you know, in the third plane. Yes, we all have to have stuff, but then the true journey that we're on here is to realize God, because it's buried there inside of us. It's not outside. It's inside of us. And so we need something, someone experiences a path to be on to pull away those layers of thick noise and consciousness and experience that keeps us trapped, keeps that God inside of us trapped, that God consciousness. And then as we go through experiences, you know, doing our meditations and doing our practices, then we get to see more and more of that and feel more and more of that expanding in all of us. And then when we present ourselves to our family and friends and community and work colleagues and all the rest of our little world, you know, around us, and then it connects with everyone's little world around, then we start to experience this shift in consciousness of the whole planet, because the golden age is supporting that. Yes, there are a lot of crazy things going on in the world and terrible things going on in the world. And as we've mentioned, and Dr. Pillai has mentioned, and all the sages and saints and divine beings who are here in the form of teachers, masters, priests, those people, spirit guides, those people are not, you know, who what we see them to be as a, you know, just a regular everyday person. They have God consciousness totally in them, and they're trying to show us the way. So here we are with Dr. Pillai, and he's showing us the way, and that's the experience that I had. We also had a beautiful experience at a very powerful Ganesha temple, but I'll talk about that when we get come back from our meditation that we're just going to do now. So before I started talking today, we heard Dr. Pillai saying a mantra, Tripura Samhara Prachanda Skandaya Namaha, and that is a mantra that gives us faith. So faith, as Dr. Pillai says, is just utter positivity. So we can go about in our lives, and maybe it's the end of the summer, and I heard that in Toronto it was the summer that never was, and it was kind of depressing for people, and then it's predicted that it's going to be another disastrous winter, which I experienced for 6 months, freezing cold temperatures last year. So does that mean that, oh, you know, we should just be so, you know, disappointed or, you know, depressed or whatever, oh, God, I can't go through it again? Well, it teaches us a lot of things. Maybe externally, that will prevent us from just going and wasting our time, so that if we are staying home more or going more internally, it gives us the opportunity to go more internally, to get on our path and stay on our path and not be distracted by temporary pleasures, so to speak, like things that numb the pain. So maybe there's something going on in the world where, you know, we are experiencing changes in weather patterns and there's wars going on. It's to wake up every soul. You know, souls come and they put themselves in these situations to experience a certain karma. And all the masters will say that. You shouldn't be too sad about the souls, or too frustrated as to why it's happening to some people and not to others, because those souls, each of us, has our own storyline that we want to experience in this lifetime. And then if you don't, as Dr. Pillai says, if you want to escape that, some karmas, then you can move. You can change your location. You can change your job, you could change your relationship, you can change all these things about your life that are external to you. It's just bringing more awareness to it and then taking a risk and, you know, become more regal in your life. Feel as if you're deserving. And that's what the sun is going to do, because the sun represents the soul. So as we're going into our meditation, put in your mind right now what it is that you want to feel a shift in these next couple of weeks, as the sun will complete its transit in its own sign, where it's most powerful. It will reveal to you where you can experience greater friendship with others, relationships, personal or family, colleagues, your health, your finances, your ability to progress in your career or in your job pursuits, your spiritual path. So these goals can be, you know, just let me experience a shift internally where I'm at peace with what I'm doing. And then when you're at peace, you can make better decisions. You won't waste your energy, you know, fighting battles that you've been finding yourself in, you know, both mentally and mentally, emotionally, and then also externally, you know, in your life, trying to figure things out. So when we get into that space of silence, which we're going to experience now in the meditation, when we get into that space, it becomes a void. And then you're just dump all the stuff into the void. And that void is potent. It's potent with divinity. It's not just blank. It's potent with divinity. And you just, you know, when we go deeper and we say, okay, we put, it's kind of like we want to do a little wash of our issues. So we, whatever issue that you want to put into this space, then you just put it there and then leave it at that. Because the divine is going to decide how it goes. That is the true meaning of surrender. When you surrender to the divine, then the divine shows you. Just as I was standing in front of that deity and nobody was saying a word, but this space was created, this void, and I was just standing and just quiet in my mind. And then all this energy came to me. And then miracles started to happen after that. Again, so miracles don't have to be like a somewhere down the road. It's in that very moment. Clarity is creation. Creation is clarity. So we'll get clear. So we are in a sixth moon waxing, and that is a very powerful time to connect with Lord Muruga. And Tripura Samhara Prachanda Skandaya Namaha, that mantra is to give us faith. And then Muruga also destroys the ego that keeps putting up false barriers and creates really bad behavior within us. You know, this dialogue, this is garbage. And we just feel bad about it. And then we take action. So that will get destroyed. Then the karma, which is just thoughts that are no longer useful. And then the maya, the illusory force that this is really holding you back. Nothing is ever holding us back. There's nothing holding us back. We just have put ourselves into situations that we've just said, okay, well, this is what it is. And it may be that, but what you don't want to hold back is the divine coming in and saying, okay, enough, move forward. Okay, so if we can't move forward, then we ask for the divine, get out of the way, step back, and allow the divine to come in. And then ego, karma, maya, and then all kinds of negativity. So Muruga is a really powerful archetype. And he's represented by the veil, which is a spear or a lance-like object. So we're going to get into that meditation, and then we will practice instilling faith, the energy of utter positivity. So just, you don't have to understand the words or what I'm saying, or what was that mantra? Don't worry about that. It'll all be written out for you and posted to the blog. So just go in and go create a space and allow this energy of positivity, like you can visualize it as bubbles, whatever is going to come up. Just, it's so positive. It's so potent. It's so divine. It's blissful even, and it's or powerful, because Muruga also gives you power and courage. So that's kind of the emotion that we want to experience, and the feeling that we want to experience. Everyone is different. So you're going to feel whatever you're going to feel, experience whatever you're going to experience. So thanks for joining. Those of you who need to go can always listen to the rest of this discussion that will be posted to the blog. Can enjoy this, listening to this meditation for the rest of the week that will prepare you to dissolve some pretty powerful karmas by the end of the week. Next week is a Pradosham that is on a Saturday, and it's a very powerful day to get rid of some challenging things going on in your life. The energy that supports it still being there. So work on the veil as your backbone and brain, and that will do your world of good rather than trying to just rely on your own experience of trying to figure things out and taking the steps that you've taken all the time and then getting no results. You just keep inviting the veil as your backbone and brain. And that will empower you to see more clearly what it is that you need to do. So those who are going to be staying on the call, I'll open the line for some questions, answers, and then further sharing. And then what you need to do is you press *6. If you want to say anything or ask a question, just press *6. Either a knot on the right setting, or people are just coming back from the meditation. So it'd be good to hear from some of you what your experience is in the meditation. And until someone interrupts me, as usual, I will just go on and talk about the experience of Ganesha Chaturthi, which is Lord Ganesha's birthday once a year, celebrated either in August or September, and it was celebrated here in India on Friday. And I had just gotten off the plane, as I mentioned earlier in the call, from Kerala, and then had about a five-hour drive to get to back to the guest house here. And then back to work on Thursday, and then Friday morning, first thing in the morning, I think it was like 4:30 or 5, had to get up because an elephant was coming to town. Literally, an elephant showed up on the back of this truck. I thought, oh my goodness, what are they going to do with this elephant? Like, how are they going to get him off this truck or her off this truck? And silly me in my Western mind, was thinking, oh, they should get this pulley thing and maybe they can fix it to a tree or something. I don't know, building. And I had been making this complicated analysis of what was going to go on, and as I was walking down the street closer to see where it was all going to happen, the trainer of the elephant just gets out of his side of the truck, and he goes to the back, and the other guy helps him to pull down the gate, the back of the gate, the tailgate. And then he just says some sounds in the language that the elephant knows, and the elephant just steps backwards, turns around on the truck, and then steps down so gracefully, so elegantly, so without effort. And here's this huge animal. And just no thump, thump. It was just like doot, 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 doot. And I thought, oh my God. And so then the trainer's walking the elephant towards where the homa is going to happen in the big celebration for Ganesha, because Ganesha is an elephant-headed divine archetype, and then the elephant is coming, and we do a special ceremony to invoke the divine into this big animal that represents, the royalty used to ride the elephant. And also in the Vedic culture, the Vedic sciences, spiritual sciences, it can bring in a tremendous the ability to have the strength of an elephant, you know, to be able to endure and to be able to move with grace and ease, and then to move in life without people getting in your way and not having to stampede them, just by the awe of your movement. So I've participated in these kinds of things over the years, as I mentioned, on the path with Dr. Pillai. And I'm a little bit hesitant because there's one part of the ceremony where, you know, you go have to go and circle around this big animal. And so it came to the part where I had to do that, and I was in such a state of joy. This elephant was so precious. Like, it was a female, and she was just so exuding all this happiness, you know, and not being restless. And even though there was loud music and all kinds of things going on at the time, but she was just so gracious. And she didn't, you know, get scared, or even though there were dogs around and things like that, and people, and there was a couple of cows there too, really nearby, because we also did a cow puja, they call it cow ceremony, where you invoke the goddess through the cows. So I'm going around and I'm getting towards the back and I'm thinking, oh my God, I have to go around and there's not much space. And then this thought just came to me, you just let go. Stop it, trying to control, you know, your own emotions or whatever. So if I get crushed by the elephant, fine, you know, maybe that's what I need. You know, but it did, I'm being dramatic. But it just represents my mind and what I will attract. Big problems, you know, we have the saying in the West, a mountain, we make mountains out of molehills. And our fears, we always get triggered by the very thing that shows up in our life. So it was such a, you know, instantaneous knowing that everything is going to be okay. Just keep going around. This animal has shown you it's not going to do anything but bless you. Bless me how? It gave me the courage to just go around it and to be really at ease with it and to trust. You know, so those are big things in one's life that we, if we really are honest with ourselves, probably not all of us do that all the time. And it's a good thing that we don't, because we don't want to be too naive either. If this elephant was restless, I'd be, no, thanks, I'll pass. you know, someone else can walk around on my behalf. But it was an opportunity. Yes, who's this?
Hi, Sutri. This is Wayne.
Hey, Wayne. Thanks for interrupting. Go ahead.
Sure. Your comment there about the elephant and having some fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe we don't realize that fear seems to be, particularly in Kali Yuga, a pervasive, consistent element in many, many people's lives. And I had this experience quite a few years ago. I went for a reading with a medium or a channel who channels an ascended master named Dwal Kul, and you can find him on the internet. But he told me that, and I never realized it, but he told me that fear was prevalent in my life, and it was a theme, and I never really realized it until I looked at the way I was thinking, and so I realized that that was the truth, and overcoming that is many times just like you did, facing up to the item or to the thing that you are fearing, and when you face up to it, it often just melts into nothing. For some of us, hopefully for everybody. But you said a lot of things that I wanted to comment on, and also bring up something about you know, we talk, many of us talk about experiences that we have and spiritual experiences, and I know you've had many, and I've always been fortunate enough to have them, but one day I was listening to something on the internet. Dr. Pillai was talking, and he mentioned, you know, many people may be having boredom, and that seemed to be a common experience with people doing TM. Even some a teacher that I knew thought that that was a normal thing, and actually, boredom is not a normal thing. It's I'm saying this because people get discouraged. They sit to meditate, and they're not having any experiences, and they're just bored, going on and on with it. And actually, it's a sign that you're not doing practice correctly. It's a symptom of incorrect practice. And what it is that you're expecting something. And when you expect, you put energy in, to the practice that blocks the coming of the experiences. The experiences are very subtle, and your own energy is blocking that. So you just have to not, have an expectation of anything happening. And that's when you're at a more subtle state, and you're open to allowing those things to happen. So that kind of ties in with the way to use mantras, which and your experience in I kind of got in late. You said it was in Kerala province. Is that where you were?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's probably one of the places where there is some preservation of ancient knowledge that the British weren't able to destroy. And I worked with a healer from Kerala who had the ability to see blockages in the subtle nervous system, and he was able to unblock those. He practiced Marma therapy, which is...
Mm-hmm.
The marmas are the same thing as the meridians in acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a, you know, channels and then little points, which are like switches. And he could, you know, he would use massage oils and then his own abilities to unblock things. And I saw amazing things happen to people, some with myself also, when he would work on them. So there's... And by the way, he said that that's a place where they're still teaching Donner Veda, which is the martial arts Veda, and that from that the other martial arts all arose through a Buddhist priest who practiced, who was trained, and went to China and started the Shaolin temple.
Uh-huh.
And so that was kind of an interesting side note. But back to the use of mantras, I discovered, and I mentioned this once before, that and this is just in conjunction with people that I knew in TM and listening to, you know, various lectures and what have you, that they always used to talk about being subtle and being innocent. And I never understood what that meant until I just kind of came upon this. And what it is that you, when you begin to use the mantras, you're saying them. And you were talking about the priests not speaking them or chanting. When you say them out loud, they are at a grosser level. And the farther away from the field of Akasha or silence, the less power. So as you approach that field of silence and do things from the field of silence, then whatever it is you're doing becomes more powerful. So the speaking them out is less powerful, it's more gross. And then thinking them, just saying them in your mind, is more powerful. But it's from there, how do you get beyond that? And and what I found in my own experience of having much more powerful experiences is that you don't need to even say the mantra. The process of using mantras and is something that goes like this. I say the mantra, and then when I'm done with the mantra, the mind tends to slip back to regular consciousness. And so when you are slipping back, then your next intention is to go back to the mantra. The very most powerful or subtle aspect of the mantra is just having the intention to go back and not actually saying the mantra. That is the mantra in its most subtle form, at least in the next step down. And I found that I get, you know, really strong experiences doing that. I did that both with these mantras, and I've done it with the sutras of Patanjali. And it always, I always got the experiences that, you know, they talked about, you know, looking at the sutras. We had a, because I took the TM Cities, as probably a lot of people that are following Dr. Pillai took. But reading, you can buy a book, and there's a number of translations. It's called How to Know God, which is Patanjali's sutras. And you'll find a lot of different opinions in those books as to, depending on who translated it, as to what the sutra means and how to use it and that kind of thing. But we had a summary sheet of the different sutras and what they portended. And so looking at doing that, I would always get the strong experience of whatever that was. And in fact, in some of them, they didn't describe that very very well, but then I would know when I would get this experience, I would immediately know, like, there's a sutra called the moon and there's another one, the sun. When I would do those, I would immediately get the feeling of say the moon that was cool, but it was also feminine, and I could see a feminine figure. And then when I do the sun, I could feel it was warm, and I would get a picture of the earth with all the plants growing, you know, and the energy coming. And so then I would know what those things, what those would do. One other thing, and then I'll go away here. You mentioned about, you alluded to the some of the things going on in the world karmically or that are happening. And so, yes, it's, there's some really terrible things that we're hearing about in the news. However, it's important to remember, like you said, people choose their lives to come here to learn. And also they are living previous karmas that they have created for themselves. I think it was Edgar Cayce, I'm not sure, one of the mediums that said that, you know, in the 1800s, there were the pogroms in Russia where people, whole villages were killed off because they weren't in compliance with whatever political structure was there at the time. And the people that did those killings were some of the ones who were reborn and ended up in the Jewish, in the prison camps and of Hitler's annihilation. Mm-hmm. So I guess the point is not to judge. You don't want to condone anything that's so horrible, but at the same time, don't overly judge, because you have no way of knowing until, and by the way, there is a veil that Patanjali talks about that allows you to see your past lives, but it's there for a reason. Most people wouldn't be able to tolerate all the things that went on in their past lives until they're at a point spiritually where the impact of the physical is kind of like the chaff from wheat. It's just, you know, meaningless. So anyway, those are my comments.
Oh, they're great comments, Wayne, and I really, really appreciate it, because you know, here we are with Dr. Pillai on this path. You've been part of the TM movement with the Maharishi, who also Dr. Pillai studied under many years ago. And it's so wonderful to hear that, you know, your experiences, and then you're bringing to this new level of awareness for everybody on the path, no matter where you are. You know, if it is saying the mantra out loud, it has a different impact. And so don't be discouraged by it. That's just one level of understanding. And then as we approach, as you said, going more internally, letting go of the mantra, even, you know, into that space, that silence, and then just having the intention to go back, that's really powerful. And those are the three stages as you're speaking about Patanjali, but I don't want to get into all that. So there's different ways. That's one of the common questions that people write in to me or ask me, you know, during a call, if I have a coaching call with them. They will say, you know, am I doing the mantra right? How many repetitions? What should I do? How do I know it's working for me? And so hearing you say over the years your experience and just the way you said it, I hope that people here got it, that the saying the mantra is powerful, but it's not as powerful as letting it go into deeper and deeper stages within our own inner world. So like just allowing it to do what it needs to do. And sometimes the world gets so crazy and it's so loud that we almost have to invoke it again, saying it aloud, just to sort of blur out that noise of the world, and then it becomes, then we can sort of match the rapport of what's going on outside, and then we can let it go. So there's different ways that we can do it, different methods of using the mantra. And then however you're doing it is just the way you need to do it for that moment in time. And I love the way you said being subtle and innocent. We should continually approach our spiritual path and our own life with an innocence and a subtlety. So that's where wisdom can come in, because as we've seen in a newborn baby, no one says a word. They just stare at that baby, you know?
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that saying it aloud was wrong.
No.
Yeah, but you're right. There was that implication in there unintentionally. But, you know, however you say it, you have to start someplace. And for me, you know, I find that I can only do that subtle practice if I'm sitting someplace, because I will be you know, walking around at work or doing things during my daily job, and I've been using the Brzee mantra a lot, and I find that when I start to have thoughts that are pulling my energy away from you know, what I should be doing, then I will use that mantra, and I'm not using it in a subtle form. I'm saying it in my head, because if I start doing it in the subtle, it draws me out of the too far out of the you know, the solid world, so to speak, and then I can't do my job. But yeah, so whatever is comfortable is an important concept, you know, not to fight nature. There again, it's, you know, in the Katha Upanishad, the title of the movie The Razor's Edge came from that. And it says the path is narrow, very difficult to tread, keen as a razor's edge. Keen as a razor's edge. And that's where that the title for that movie came from. So it is sometimes difficult to hit on that, because we always have a natural tendency to want, you know, to want that experience. You have the desire to have that experience, but you have to set the desires aside enough that it doesn't interrupt or interfere with the experience. So that's that's how I would interpret that that phrase.
Absolutely. Well, again, I really, really appreciate your sharing, and I'm sure that it's been helpful for the members here. And is there anything else that you wanted to say?
No, I think I don't want to take up any more time, so I'll go ahead and I'll check out now, and I'll listen for others.
All right, great. Well, thanks for sharing again, and have a great week.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Wing. Yeah, so that was a lot to take in, and it's very powerful. Wayne's been on the path for many, many years, although we've never met in person. He's been a student of Dr. Pillai's over the years and in different programs, and his sharing has always inspired me and other members as well who write in and ask how to get in touch with Wayne. So it's great. Thanks so much, Wayne. And I just wanted to say something, too, when I was going around that elephant and, you know, all these things came up. I just felt, okay, I made it around, and then there was this joy. So in that moment, we can either choose fear or choose whatever is next. And for me, it just happened to be that experience of joy, so that when we came around and then we had to do some more stuff, like put some flowers and some other things. And then at the very end of it, the elephant, the trainer of the elephant, he gets the elephant to give every single person who was there a blessing with his trunk, or her trunk. It was a female elephant. And so they said, okay, then in there, and they're speaking a different language, so, you know, there's other people around speaking English too, and they said, okay, stand in front. And I'm like, oh my God, now what? And so just bend your head down. And so then I feel this ka-thump on my head, and it was this elephant's trunk, and then getting to feed the elephant some bananas and some coconut, all these things that it likes. And, you know, taking it and putting it right into the mouth of this very large animal, I just thought, oh, my God. You know, looking back now, I think, who was that? Who was I doing that thing? And it flashed as I was walking home back to the guest house, which isn't too far away. And I was just, like, internally going through this, oh, my God, that is, like, so past life. It's this life. But though all that memory is still there, that this is quite a normal thing for me to be doing at this point in time. And then, so how that showed up the rest of Ganesha's birthday was celebrated that night. Deepa and I, she's another student of Dr. Pillai and also works for Astroved in the programs and services there. Over the years, and she's also a very good friend of mine for many, many, many years from Canada, Toronto. And so we were going off to this temple, and what we heard was this is a temple that's about 5,000 years old, although they can't pinpoint it exactly. We go into this temple, and there's lots of people. And we had the grace and blessings from Dr. Pillai in that one of the priests that are being trained up, the kids are being trained up here. It was a Vedic specialist. So he's about 13 years old. And it was assigned, we were assigned to him to get us to the front of this deity in front. And there's, you know, so many people in this temple. And I thought, okay, this kid, he's going to get us to the front. That's it. So, and he doesn't know who the person is who he's going to talk to. He just got a phone call from somebody that said, show up, and then we'll take you guys to the front. And then you can be right in front of this deity and watch this ceremony. And so this kid is taking us. We drive there, get a drive, and get dropped off. And this kid, he's going there. And he's just regal. I just was watching him move and through the crowd, and he could have been scared out of his mind at 13 years old, but he just held the divine in him. And he just walked, and he only said a few words, and then some other priest came and met him, and it was as if he was expecting him, and he knew exactly what he looked like. And then Deepa and I followed him, and we were whisked through the crowd, and it was media. There was cameras and a television company, and flashing cameras, and we're like, what the heck is going on here? And as it turned out, there was a really powerful guru from who's well known in India, and he was coming as this special guest. And so in we come, and we got whisked to the front, and we got in front of the deity even before this special guru, this very important guru in India, had gotten to see the deity. And it was just like so strange, because that's what Dr. Pillai said, you know, you follow my path, and you know, I will take you on a journey that's so adventurous it will just blow your mind, and you'll get into places that you can't even imagine yourself to getting into, no matter who you are. And so here we were in front of the deity, and then we turn, and here's this great guru, and he exchanged a few words with us. I mean, big lights are on us, like big camera lights, and I can't barely even see each other. And he's, well, where are you from? And we said, Canada. And then he had a conversation with us, and then they said, okay, you know, you got to come in front of the deity. And, you know, so we whisked him away, and we went off to see the rest of the temple. And then we ran into each other again, and then he called us to us, and then he started to give us, you know, maybe 5 minutes of his time. And being in his presence was just so gracious of him to, you know, share with us about Hinduism. And, you know, he also related to Christianity, and he was talking about the sacred ash that's in both the customs and cultures and religious beliefs. So it was, you know, it was a beautiful experience. He was speaking English. And then the whole crowd around was very quiet, and it was like there's one of those frozen moments in time. And all Deepa and I wanted to do was just get the blessings from this great guru who's, you know, influenced so many people's lives for the better in his lifetime. He was an older man. And I didn't even hear of him before. So afterwards we came back and we were on the internet, you know, looking him up and stuff like that. So that was kind of cool. So again, the sun in Leo saying, what does your soul want to experience that's going to give you this experience of being regal or important or meeting leaders? Oh, that was another thing. We also met these politicians from the region. And they were, you know, all escorted, and they had security and everything. And in order for us to see the deity before this other guru was coming, was these politicians were standing there. And then they just kind of parted the way and said, yes, of course, stand here, right in front. And the security seemed to just, like, back off. And we didn't really even realize how easy it was and how this 13-year-old kid got us there. And it was all because of Dr. Pillai, because there's no other way that this could have happened. And it's not like he called the temple and called everybody. It was just that knowingness that he is with us, he's guiding us. And if it's something that we need to do, like Wayne said, don't have expectation, be innocent and be open and be curious. And so then when we were in front, I felt this tremendous amount of energy coming from this ancient Ganesha. And what happens at this time of the year on his birthday is about 40,000 liters of honey get poured onto this special wooden, and you can Google it, just Google honey Ganesha or Ganesha that gets honey poured on him, something like that, and it will take you to a video and you'll see it. And I'm standing and watching them pour the honey, and I'm going, this is a miracle. Like, it just would disappear. Normally, if you pour honey on a statue, it will pour out all over the place, right? Eventually, it comes down and then makes a big mess, and what a sticky mess it would make. But it just absorbed it, and it's done this. Just like there's a Ganesha that you can Google Ganesha drinking milk. And I forget which year it was, maybe 20 years ago, something like that. It was a phenomenon, maybe even earlier, so, you know, recently. But I was like, oh, okay, there's something to it. But then there's in the different cultures and religions as well, where there's a Mother Mary who cries blood, tears, you know. So the divine is trying to show us that get out of our minds, and I'll show you something that is so mind-blowing. Mm. And so then when I was standing in front, and it was all exciting because there was all these cameras and lights, and, you know, I think that the media was wondering who Deepa and I were. We were just a couple of Caucasian girls, you know, being in the right place at the right time, enjoying this phenomena. And everyone was really gracious. They didn't question us. They didn't push us away. They just let us to be there. And then we just kind of floated out of the temple, pinching ourselves, going, oh, my God. And we were just congratulating our little priest assistant, who is being trained up by Dr. Pillai's grace and blessings. He's going to be a tremendous Vedic specialist with his training from his guru, his priest. He has a priest teacher. And he's doing such a great job. So anyone, and which brings me to, you know, the point that I talked about, the Hope Centers or Super Kids programs, or the kids that are using the sounds and under Dr. Pillai's grace and blessings in care, their consciousness, they're just so divine. And I could see from this kid, he just had so much self-esteem. He wasn't worried at all, and he just was like, okay, and just let go. Okay, get to the front now. Okay, go over here. And he could hardly speak any English. So his presence was as if Ganesha himself had gotten into this kid and removed all obstacles, just because that was his assignment, to get us there, to get us to the church on time, to the temple on time. So, and then we met that, you know, those big leaders in the community, and also this guru that has been around forever in India. So that's how Sun showed up in my life in Leo, bringing more and more of that awareness of, you just do the practices, trust in the divine, trust in yourself, trust in your own evolution. That you are going to run into the right people at the right time, and they're going to bless you or to guide you. As it turned out, Deepa knew one of the politicians for some reason. She had had a conversation with someone, and then she had remembered that she had a conversation with this one politician over the phone. And then, so now we will go and meet him in person at another time. So it's quite a journey. And so, you know, be aware these next couple of weeks of how you can run into some important people, and they can help you. Or you might have the experience of feeling more regal in your own conversation with yourself, your own inner dialogue, where you just throw away all that stuff that has been blocking you from your seeing your true self, feeling that true self, experiencing it, and then expanding upon it and letting it come through. So that was what happened for Ganesha's birthday. So that was like, okay, that's a sign for me that there's good times ahead. And Ganesha is the one who removes obstacles, and Saturn is moving into my house of obstacles. And when Saturn moves or transits, it transits for 2.5 years, and it brings up all kinds of challenges in our life, depending on where it's going to go. So I was thinking, oh my God, I'm so happy that I have Ganesha's blessings. Because even though Saturn is going to go into my house of obstacles, I will have the ability to, you know, get his blessings to have success in spite of delays or obstacles or challenges that can cause me to be discouraged or frustrated or, you know, maybe even, you know, delays in kind of like finishing projects, things like that. because I was reading or listening to it about on AstroVet about it on the video that Vali, who is a Vedic astrologer and a longtime student of Dr. Pillai's, she is putting out about I think it's about 8 minutes or maybe 8.5 minutes. If you go on to Saturn transit on the website or under specials and then click on that and it says read more and you'll come to a video, and Vali gives about an 8 minute talk on just an overview on how Saturn can affect you depending on where it is going in your house or going in your signs of your chart. So for me, it was going to create obstacles and delays. Now I have a heads up on that. And then Ganesha, I'm going to be in love with Ganesha. I'm going to be just praying to Ganesha like you can't believe. And just pray that the delays can create opportunities, other opportunities. So Saturn causes delays or obstacles to make us to figure out other ways to get around things. And not only that, but Saturn is going to create this opportunity to restrict ourselves. If you're me, Aries, I have an Aries moon, and it's going to be my 8th house from the moon, to restrict myself from thinking, oh my God, I'm stuck, oh my God, I'm delayed, to being more compassionate about situations, about people that are, I think, that are causing my delays or in the way, creating obstacles, or I'm waiting to hear back from them, or, you know, all that kind of human logic analysis. And I'll be able to say, hey, you know what, I totally get it. So I'll be able to persist and persevere through. So it's really interesting, you know, Dr. Pillai gives us this, all this knowledge at the time, the natural time that it's happening. So Saturn is going to be impacting all of us. So find out how he's going to impact your life. Someone in another program, the Light Body program, she said, I finally got a 30-minute consultation with the Vedic astrologer on AstroVet. It was the best 30 minutes of my life. It felt like it was so profoundly shifting and confirming and everything else, and it also gave me guidance. And so this is something she had been avoiding, not avoiding, but just not getting yet, until she finally did, and it was worth her while. So I just from her words and my own experience and what I've shared with everyone about other people, it's a good time to find out how Saturn's going to slow down everything in your life so that you will learn something. So you can get a report. They have reports for 2.5 years to tell you, you know, month to month or maybe quarterly. I can't remember, every couple months. As it's moving through, there's about 7 movements it does. So find out, you can get a report and find out what that is going to do, because that's what I did last. I've done that for past few transits of Saturn, because it's a 2.5-year period. Hey, why not find out what the road is, what's happening on your road of life, and then how you can navigate accordingly. And then there's things that you can do, you know, you can simply chant Om Shum Shani Chirai on Saturdays or during Saturn Horus. You can light a sesame lamp, sesame seeds, black sesame seeds, and then sesame oil lamp on a Saturday or every day if you're going through 7.5 years of Saturn or running a major Saturn period. If you don't know anything about that, it doesn't matter. You can get that information from a Vedic astrologer. And then you can say, well, you've said whatever you said, so what do I do? And then she or he will give you some prayers or some mantra or some remedies to do and some heads up of time that's going to be a little bit critical. So then you're totally ready for whatever is lying ahead, and then you're going to learn what you need to learn. So for me, Saturn going into the 8th house, it doesn't matter if it's just a general prediction that Molly gave. I just gave me a heads up, well, obstacles and delays. Okay, fine. Who do I pray to? So I pray to Saturn, pray to Ganesha. Finished. So that will be something that I will do for 2.5 years. And that we all know how fast time flies. So if we have the right tools to help us navigate during that time period, we'll find that, my gosh, it wasn't slow and delayed at all. So other things you can do for Saturn is feed crows, blackbirds, or you can feed the elderly, handicapped, feed people, help people as much as you can. If you can, do it in your own neighborhood or community. Do it through Tripura Foundation. Those are programs that are structured. You know the money is going there. It's going to the cause that is going to give you blessings back, because it's through Dr. Pillai. He gives us this opportunity. Everything that he does is all blessed so that it's pure. There's nobody taking the money and going and doing something else with it. It's just going directly to those programs. And then there's other things that you can do, is get the Saturn Puja Kit, participate in Saturn rituals. You can light Saturn incense. So it's coming up, so be aware of it. Get ready for that period of time. And you'll be pleasantly surprised versus like shock, like Saturn can do. Because it's going to crush our ego, to teach us humility. It's going to enforce karmic lessons. And that forces us only to experience pain, because if we don't experience pain, we have no compassion for anyone else. So if we have experienced pain and all we've done is complain about it and blamed it on other people, then where's compassion in there? So on goes our suffering. So it really teaches us to grind us down and go, oh my God, I've just been focusing on myself and, really... haven't been able, or so numbed by it that I haven't been able to really experience compassion on a deep, deep level. So Saturn will do that. It will help us to clean up our acts, our actions, our areas of our life, because it goes slow enough through that sign that it will, we can't blink and miss it or avoid it. So find out where your Saturn is and what it's going to do. You can read about it. It's free. It's all on AstroVed. You can participate in fire labs and rituals offered through Pillai Center or AstroVed. You can get the report. That's a paid report, but it's totally, totally worth it, in my opinion, because it's like a roadmap. It can gives you a heads up of where you're going to be going in your life for that period of time and what to expect. And then you're prepared as much as you can be, and then pray to Saturn. And then so when you pray to Saturn, regardless of what he's going to put you through, he can raise you to the top. He's the only planet that can cause you to be a pauper or a prince. So, if you're, finding yourself in a very crushed situation, read The Greatness of Saturn. It's by Svoboda, I think the name is. Or someone can correct me. I'll try and look it up after that, so I put it on the blog properly. If you read that book, it's actually a remedy to do to get in touch with all the planets and then Saturn itself. So it talks about this king who totally gets ground down during his 7.5 years. And then at the end, he says, there's nothing left to me, just take me out. And then Saturn says, oh, you've learned your lessons. And then he puts him to be the king again. So wherever you are in your life and you feel like Saturn's going to be pressuring you, get him to be on your side, and you won't have to grind down to experience too much pain, just enough to enough pressure to make you to see what it is that you need to see. So, and then there's, I'm looking forward to, no one's interrupting me now, so I'm going to start to wrap up here. But I'm really looking forward to seeing those of you who are coming to India for the Navagraha trip, which is nine planet trip. And it will be really an exciting adventure, and we'll get in touch with all the planets with your personal experiences and us facilitating. Who's this?
Hi, Sutramitits Nanushka. How are you?
Very good, Nanushka.
Thanks,
you?
Thanks again for a wonderful meditation and talk. I really get a lot out of these every Sunday. I'm doing well, thank you. And I just wanted to say a couple quick things. One is that I wanted to kind of re-emphasize Wayne's point about it's more about the intention of doing the mantra. It's that moment when you decide to do the mantra that's the most important. It's not about getting the chant just right. And I wanted to talk a little bit about fear, and fear is really just a symptom of the illusion of separation. And it can only arise from duality. And if you're really experiencing yourself as one, which it sounds like from the story you told us in the temple with the big crowd and the elephant, that you were able to shift out of the illusion of separation and experience yourself as one with the elephant and everyone there, and that allowed you to be in a more peaceful place. I mean, that's true for all of us. I have so many of those moments throughout my day. I'm sure everybody on the call does as well. And if you can just, instead of thinking of fear as the enemy, it's instead think of fear as your friend. It's like a gentle reminder that you're slipping into a perception based on the illusion of separation instead of experiencing yourself as one with the universe. That's what I've been focusing on lately, is actually welcoming those little reminders instead of trying to push them away and say, oh, thanks, I needed that reminder, thank you. Kind of that, more of that kind of attitude. And I'm finding that's working much better for me than trying to push it away and go, oh no, I feel scared again. Oh, what am I going to do? I mean, that doesn't help me to go there. And I'm sure other people have experienced this thing. It's pretty common. So I just wanted to kind of get that out there and just thank you for all the great information. And that's pretty much it.
Well, that's great. It's a great reminder, and I like that to not go either choose. The intention is most powerful. Our intention to not be separated from our divine self, or
exactly.
The mantra. Yeah. So that is it's a powerful message and a powerful thing for us to reinforce, Nanushka. Our intention.
Yeah. And the thing about Saturn and things slowing down is something else that I've really shifted what the meaning that I assign to it. Like after Ganesha's birthday, and this tends to happen to me in general, after there's been like a big energy push, it slows me down. I feel tired. I don't feel very well for a little while. And instead of going into fear like I used to, I decided to be excited because of all the changes that are taking place in me, and how when I start to come out of it, how amazing my life is going to be. So I just decided to assign a new meaning to it. So that's another, I don't know if that might help anybody else out there, but it's instead when things slow down and it's not like revving along like your mind and ego would like it to, if you say, well, I've just shifted gears and there's incredible things going on inside me and my outer life needs to quiet down so I can do this work, which is at least as, if not more valuable than anything I could be doing externally, and be excited about how that's going to change your external life once you shift to more outward focus. It might help to get all, oh, God, I'm all slowed down, I'm not getting anything done, and all the stories that go along with that. You shift that to, oh, how exciting, I'm getting all these new energies infused into me, and when I start to move outward again, it's going to be incredible.
Absolutely.
It's a different story. Same events, different story, and it's much more empowering.
I like it, Nanuchka. Very positive.
Yeah, it's helping me a lot.
Aww.
So I just wanted to share it, and you know, hopefully other people will get some benefit from it, too. I mean, that's the whole idea. I like it when other people do that, too, when people share what's working for them, you know, what little breakthrough they've had, because that might be something I need to hear.
Absolutely.
You know,
well,
certainly lots of things you share are like that. So just, yeah, it helps if we all share little moments.
I'm so glad that you said that. So I appreciate what you've shared with us so far and you continue to do. And this is a great reminder. I like the slowing down and slowing down to assign a new meaning to what is going on inside of us and be excited about it. So that's great. Thanks, Nanuchka.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Sucharita. Always get so much out of these calls. I really appreciate you doing this for us.
Oh, you're very welcome, Nanuchka. Have a great week.
I will. You too, and everybody on the call. Love and blessings, and namaste.
Thank you. Namaste. Yeah, that's a really potent tool to use. So just Saturn's going to slow us down in whatever area of our life that he's going to be impacting our chart. There's meaning or qualities or characteristics or influence that is going to be revealed to each and every one of us. And then, as Nanuchka said, your intention just set the tone of your life to be more passionate about what's going on inside of you versus trying to control what may be delivered as some challenges. Because who are we in the face of anything that goes on in our life? That's what Saturn does, is he teaches us. And that's wisdom. You know, and then when we are in that state where the divine sees, oh, you've mastered all your reactive qualities that have created some situations that have spiraled out of control, and now you know that's not going to work for you anymore. So then what to do? You have to go inside and reinvent who you are, with the intention that, okay, I got my lessons learned, and now I have to assign a new meaning to myself, how I approach each and every situation in my life. Am I doing it recklessly? Because Saturn won't let you. You can't be reckless anymore in that area that Saturn's impacting. Now, having said all that, Saturn is only one planet. There are other planets that are also not going to make it so teacher-oriented, or, you know, have to do good, or you're going to get spanked in a way, or punished. He's not a punishing planet, even if you perceive it that way. Because, oh, why me? Why am I in pain? Well, we've already talked about that. You can read more about that. But there's other planets that are going on every day that can keep you, you know, give you a pulse so you're not flatlining and just surrendering to, oh, my God, now what? So there are the other planets that impact us may be more favorable. So it'll be still an adventure. And then some, it'll be colorful, so it won't be all dark and gloomy, or that you have to just lock yourself away and go inside. So having said all that, I think we are coming to a close, and it's been a quite a long call. Maybe it's normal, but it just feels like a lot of energy has come in. Anyone else want to say anything or ask a question, a burning question at this point? All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining. It's been an enlightening time, an enlightening session. And even though we are listening to words being spoken, there's a tremendous amount of energy that's coming in through the grace and blessings of Dr. Pillai, because any of his programs just sets a space, a time slot for him to tune in, knowing that people are here. And then when you pay attention to the divine and you put yourself in a position where you're just listening, you're participating, you're doing a meditation, and it's in the name of Dr. Pillai, you'll get tremendous blessings. So God bless you all. And thanks to Dr. Pillai for allowing us to do a free service weekly so that we can help to uplift ourselves and then the rest of the planet. So we'll see you next week at the same time. And in the meantime, make sure that you pay attention to Pradosham, which is a window of time to get rid of some energy that's congesting your life. And then you'll have a breakthrough. And that's coming up towards the end of the week. All right. God bless. See you next time. Bye-bye.